When you hear the word Cuba, what comes to mind? Perhaps for history buffs, they may remember the name Fidel Castro in the year 1959. Those interested in geography might picture an island about 90 miles off the Florida coast. Movie fans might think of Cuban cigars. Those who follow the news may think of the recent political changes and the relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. And after this week, some may think of Cuba as one of those island nations in the direct path of Hurricane Matthew. But by the end of today's message and this month's World Mission Offering promotion, I hope we will all think about celebrating the spiritual revival that is taking place in Cuba. We will soon know how much there is to celebrate as we learn about the Baptist witness on the Caribbean island nation of Cuba, where the phrase from the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven," is being fulfilled. How much excitement I got from watching the videos earlier today. When Jesus instructed his followers to do, and what most congregations try to do, to reach out to others with an invitation to follow Christ and to provide discipleship and leadership training opportunities, is what is now happening in Cuba. As I previewed the video segments for today's mission moments, I realized that I did not know a lot about Cuba. I was very young when drastic changes took place in this island nation, so geographically close to the U.S. mainland, yet so very far away in social development through government repression. A few highlights from Cuba's history that you may have picked up from the video, but I may be expanding on a little bit, include these. In 1898, mission boards of American Baptists and Southern Baptists agreed to divide their work on the island. The Southern Baptists were assigned the western part of Cuba, where Havana is located, and American Baptists to eastern Cuba, where the largest city is Santiago. And during the 1900s, churches and schools and hospitals were built. They prospered. Faith was alive on the island of Cuba. But there was a political revolution in the country in 1959 when Fidel Castro seized power, and eventually power went to Raul, his brother. In 1961, the Castro-led Cuban government nationalized religious properties and declared itself atheist, leading to oppression of the church. And as this took place, foreign Protestant missionaries, left the country, as did many leaders and members of their churches. Those who stayed experienced much persecution. Restrictions were placed on churches and religious gatherings, and homes were prohibited. And this continued for about 30 years. And if we fast forward to the early 1990s, when the Soviet Union's support of Cuba ceased, despite the increased hardship faced by the people, yet a great spiritual awakening took place. Cuban Baptists prevailed upon the government to decrease restrictions that had been imposed, and changes gradually occurred. Cuba today is not like the stereotypical image we have from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. As the last video we watched showed, the Cuban church has a dramatic new life that's being experienced there on earth as it is in heaven. Recapping the information that we saw in the last video, that while the government of Cuba is tolerant of religious practices, it still does not encourage nor endorse the construction of house church buildings. Believers are encouraged to meet in house churches, the Second Baptist Church of Peñuel in Higani, Cuba, is a shining example of this. And we saw some of the exuberance and the worship that was taking place there, but other things were going on as well. The church began in 2007 as a living room Bible study with 7 members. Today, it's a house church with 314 members. Its ministries include 60 to 70 children who attend services and 2 youth groups that have a total of 56 members. But that's more in-house of what they're providing for those that come. But that church is not just inward focused, it's also outward focused, for it also conducts evangelism events. It hosts a thriving ministry, marriage ministry, and sponsors 2 mission churches in outlying parts of the city. And they recently conducted a baptism, as we saw in the video, and if you see any of the promotion material, there's a poster on the back wall of the sanctuary, has that picture of that baptism. This morning's scripture text is a familiar one for many of us. We often call it the Lord's Prayer, but can also be called the disciples' prayer. Jesus gave the prayer as an example for praying among those who follow him. It was not necessarily intended to be learned by rote and repeated word for word. Jesus was giving us an example of the things and the manner in which we should pray. One of the wonderful things about our faith and discipleship is that it's not static. It's not an inactive life. Christ does not call people to come and follow him, but yet go sit in the rocking chair for the rest of their lives. They are to be active in thought, in word, and in deed. And certainly when we become a new believer, there is a period of instructions necessary. That's discipleship training. But then we have marching orders to go into the world to show and tell others about Jesus. A life of discipleship means continuing to identify God's will and following it so that God's will is done on earth as in heaven. Another important facet of our faith journey is leadership training. While not everyone has the gifts needed to be a leader, those who do need to have those gifts identified, developed, and utilized. God uses the church to bring God's will to earth, so leadership training is important. Discipleship and leadership training are priorities among Baptists everywhere, including Cuba. A new beginning for Cuba started in 1996. American Baptist International missionary Sue Hegarty was one of the first Baptist missionaries allowed in Cuba since the 1959 revolution. She is now serving in Costa Rica, but she ministered for 12 years at the Eastern Cuba Baptist Theological Seminary in Santiago de Cuba, founded in 1949. She led a seminary writing team that created a more particularly participatory form of Christian education, something that was new to Cuba's churches and is now common throughout the country. You'll note in today's bulletin insert that former students of that course that she conducted years ago still benefit from the education they received. Sue Hegarty's ministry in discipleship and leadership training bring God's healing and hope because lives are transformed. I mentioned earlier that some of us most recently might think of Cuba as being one of those island nations in the path of Hurricane Matthew. And I want to bring you an update from one of our partners there. Hurricane Matthew arrived in Cuba at Guantanamo on the eastern side of the island nation. International Ministries partner in that region is the Baptist Convention of Eastern Cuba. An email received Friday from International Ministries friends, Pastor Israel Castro and Loida Rodriguez, who live and work in Chivrico, Cuba, reported on the extent of the devastation with these words: "We are back home. Thank God we have power. We had a lot of flooding, but few losses. However, Berakoa, a city on the eastern coast, is a total disaster. The whole town is devastated. We have been in communication with the missionary coordinator of the deaf ministry, and 99% of the deaf people lost their homes and everything they had. We don't know anything about my side, also on the eastern coast, but we believe they lost everything, but still don't know for sure. There is no communication. We hope that within 10 days the roads are fixed and we can bring some help, like rice, soap, and see if there is anything we can do. International Ministries has no residential global service in Cuba, so we rely on partnerships that we have established there. And Pastor Rodriguez, are some of those ways that there are eyes, our hands on that island nation. And well, I'm sort of mixing up offerings this morning, but it's both are so important. The World Mission Offering is important because it goes to sustaining the ongoing ministry and mission work around our world. And while the One Great Hour Sharing is often thought of the disaster offering and relief efforts, but the money is there to help when there are these needs. And the island nation of Cuba right now needs both our prayers and our financial gifts, both to the World Mission Offering, which will support the ongoing ministry there, and the One Great Hour Sharing offering, which will go to the immediate needs. So as we pray for God's will to be done on earth as in heaven, we can celebrate how it is already happening in Cuba. We have an opportunity to support what we celebrate by giving of our offerings. The World Mission Offering strengthens our witness not only in Cuba, but also in more than 70 countries around the world. We can also reach out in love through our One Great Hour of Sharing offering to those in need. Let's pray together. Lord, for many of us, Cuba may not be a well-known nation. It's been repressed. It's been hidden away. But Lord, we know that the doors are opening, that people are going there to visit. Orchestras are going to provide music. That things are opening up, and we are so grateful for that. Lord, we pray for our Baptist partners in Cuba as they minister, especially in this time of need, but also as they continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ to people who have been repressed, who have been prohibited from knowing about Jesus' love. Lord, we pray that however we may help and support that ministry, that we may be about that, so that your work may, we may work, and things may take place here on earth as in heaven. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.